Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 103, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, in thee am I confiding, and thou wilt answer when I call. Lest my foes, the good deriding, triumph in thy servant's fall. Psalter 103, stanzas 1 through 4. scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, the fifth chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 5. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, and we may read out of thy holy word those instructions which thou didst give unto thy church, unto thy servant, that he may know how to administer all things within the church of God. And so it may also be our consideration in this afternoon hour, when we are called to consider together that second key of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, that thou may look upon us when we are gathered in thy house, and that we also may receive the benefit, each one of us, from those keys, that door may be opened unto us in a personal way, that the means may be used with great diligence, and that thou may bring each one of us into that kingdom of heaven before that it is forever too late, that we may receive that instruction which is sound and according to thy word, that thou would grant it unto us as thy servant, that we may receive it all from thee, and that we may simply speak that which thou givest us to speak. Then it shall be so pure, and then it shall be unmixed with man, but then it shall also be sanctified and blessed to come in as an arrow in the heart of the hearers. And Lord, that is now what we wait for. And that is the blessing that we covet. That is the fruit that we wish to see. And it all awaits thy blessing. Oh, that thou may then show it in this afternoon. That indeed thou art with us. That thou gatherest with us from week to week. And that thou art working quietly from heart to heart. And that thou art bringing men and women and children, young and old, into their inner chambers. And that thou art giving a place upon our knees. and wherein men may beseech of thee, but they cannot miss for eternity. Lord, then it is a solemn matter that we carry within us, not alone a human spirit, but also an everlasting, a never dying soul, and that it makes us so distinct from the rest of thy creation. But Lord, we have also fallen with it, and that is also our distinction from the animals. They have not sinned against thee. But Lord, that thou may pick us up out of that pit which we have brought ourselves in, and wilt thou receive all the glory and all the honor therefore. Remember thou us each one to gather in this afternoon hour then in thy house, that we may not have that blessing forfeited, because that our minds are all over this world. Lord, that thou may separate us then for a little while, and that thou may give a little attention on the things that are so necessary for the need of our souls. Wilt thou look upon the children and the youth of our congregation? Lord, instruct them in the days of their youth. Grant them the tender fear of thy name while they are yet young. And bless the labors of our teachers and of our parents together, those that may be instructed in our own school and in other places, Lord, that thou may remember each one of them as they learn so much concerning the needs for the time. But oh, that in their youth, that they may also be instructed by thy Spirit, that they may have that need for their soul bound upon them, that in the days of tenderness of the human spirit, that they may receive the fear of thy name also, then they shall become tender in the ways of sin, that they sin not against thee and one another. Look thou upon us in the week that is to come, when our school also has a need to be upheld in a financial way. Lord, that thou may grant a blessed day, not only together, but that thou may also give the profit of it, that our school may be cared for, but that thou may also keep us as a community, as a school, as churches, with thy truth and in the truth, and that thou may lead us and guide us in all the right way. Lord, that thou may look also upon our government and all that rule and reign over us, as thou commandest us to lay them before thee also. Lord, that thou may strengthen them for their labors, not in the ways of sin, but wilt thou instruct them also from above, and give them an impression that they have to answer for their great task, and that they must stand before their judge, that they would not be able to continue on to lead in the ways of sin. That thou may look upon thy servants over the length and breadth of this world. Lord, grant an increase in the number of thy truly sent servants. Also, in the lack that there is in the many vacant congregations, that thou may gladden us by thy deeds,
in this coming season, and that thou may look upon missionaries and all those that do labor in thy kingdom, especially those who are persecuted for the sake of thy name. Lord, wilt thou strengthen and encourage them? But when also thy word is corrupted so much in this world, so that that doctrine according to godliness that is not heard by so very many anymore. Lord, that thou may remember thy own cause, and that thou may bring thy word in its purity and in its truth to the ends of the world. But that thou may look also upon us and upon our children, that we may be careful with thy truth, that we may have a desire, that it may be maintained in our midst, and that we may love that truth as it may be experienced also in our own souls and in the souls of our children. Wilt thou help us in this afternoon, Lord, that thou may go with us in the preaching, and thou knowest the needs also of our body. When it seems that our voice is a little weak, Lord, that thou may strengthen us. Lord, thy voice is powerful, and thy voice is full of majesty. Oh, that that voice may be heard this day, and that thou may grant thy indispensable blessing to us. Forgive our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 223, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Where'er his creatures gather, the unseen God is near. Let rulers fear their ruler, their judge let judges fear. How long, ye earthly judges, will ye pervert the right? How long shall wicked persons have favor in your sight? The last collection today is for our disaster fund, Psalter 223, all stanzas. Congregation, last week we began our consideration of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Is there in our heart any desire to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Thus, not only to go to heaven when we die, but that we may enter into that kingdom that is not only after this life, but that is a kingdom that is entered into already while we are in this life. And thus, when we have begun the consideration of the keys of that kingdom of heaven, is there even then within our heart an interest that we may desire to come into that kingdom, that we may desire to be converted? Because when there is no such desire, then it is understandable that we have also no desire to hear about these keys. But when it is our desire that we also may come into that kingdom, and then it will also be necessary for us that we may know how we may enter into that kingdom. We heard last week of five foolish virgins who were standing at a closed door, a door into the kingdom of heaven, a door that was shut against them. That is a door that you and I have closed against ourselves already in our father Adam. Then we see that the Lord has sent Adam out of that garden, and that there is a closed door that they are not able to just go back again into that communion with the Lord. That door that has been closed, that was a door wherein man was able to gain for himself eternal life. But that is now a door that has been closed. And the Lord has made another way. The Lord has made a way from the side of God himself. Heard something of that in this morning hour. And that the Lord has also given now the keys, the keys or the means by which a person may enter into that kingdom of heaven through that door of grace. Christ, as the door, will always remain to all eternity. However, that door will one day be shut against so very many. The key to that door will one day be no more. So that door can no longer be opened. That means that there will be a last sermon. A last sermon heard. There will be a last sermon preached. Why? Because there will come an end to the need for preaching. An end to this need. Why? Because it will be no longer of any use. Because man will be at that time without hope. There will be no coming in anymore. Thus, what does the Lord show to us? The Lord in His Word shows to us that He puts a limit upon the opportunity that He gives unto man. And He shows that there is a great need for a timely improvement of the opportunities that are given unto man. That is, He speaks about a day of grace and a time of salvation. Thus, saying that this day of grace, this time of salvation, also is going to come to an end. That key to the kingdom of heaven is not given to everyone in this world. How poor is that man? Is that not so, young people? Or how poor is that man? Maybe those who are living next door to you even. Not necessarily those who are so far away from you in this world and that live in heathenism and barbarism, but also those in the civilized world that have the television in front of them every day, that means of communication directly from hell, and they have not the Word of God. They do not know God. They do not know themselves. They do not know, they never hear their misery. There is a certain privileged people in this world. In the sovereign good pleasure of God that the Lord is bringing under the means of grace and that the Lord is giving unto them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. But He says they are not forever. And thus there is an urgency that is connected with these keys. That having these keys, we would not in the end miss the blessing. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, do you not know? And that those who run in a race run all. Everyone runs. But children, there is only one that receives the prize in the end of that race. There is only one that is coming there first. Then he does not say that only one will receive the prize. No, but he says, so run as if there is only one person in this world that is ever going to be converted. But now the preaching, that is not the only key. And we wish to consider the second key this afternoon out of Lord's Day 31. The second part, that is question 85. Lord's Day 31, question 85. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Answer, thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who are under the name of Christians maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church, or to those who are thereto appointed by the church. And if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church, and by God Himself, from the kingdom of Christ. And when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and His church. So far, our Lord's Day. Christian discipline, the second key of the kingdom of heaven. First, the purpose and the character of this key. Second, the use of this key. Christian discipline, the second key of the kingdom of heaven. First, its purpose and character, and second, its use. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened? By Christian discipline. Thus, last time we heard about the key of the preaching, and it is not difficult for us to understand the necessity of the preaching for the opening of the kingdom of heaven. Why? Well, what did we lose in our fall? We have lost the image of God. What is the image of God? That is knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Thus, we have lost knowledge. And in order to receive that knowledge again, then it is necessary that we be taught, that we be instructed. And it is knowledge that is life. As we read that the Lord declares, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Thus, we see the necessity of the preaching. How that under that preaching, persons are instructed and that they may receive that true knowledge of God and of self once again. But we have also heard that key of the preaching is used for the shutting of the kingdom of heaven. When there is a pronouncement against the wicked, and when the Lord Himself is manifesting that it is not the word of men, but that it is the word of God, and that the Lord is giving His own stamp of approval upon the preaching and pronouncements of His servants. But now we come to the second key. That is the key of Christian discipline. And then it is not difficult for us to understand how that this key that can be used for the shutting of the kingdom of God. That those who have no desire to walk in accordance with that law of the Lord, and that they are shut out by the Lord Himself through that key of Christian discipline. But that Christian discipline, that is also in a very special way a key that is for the opening of the kingdom of heaven. We read that in God's Word, that it is a key that is used to deliver from hell. Solomon says this, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Thus we have the end or the final purpose of Christian discipline, that is the deliverance from hell, the deliverance from punishment, condemnation. Thus, discipline. What is that? Chastening, correction. To bring a man who is on the wrong path, to bring such a one once again on the right way. Thus, when we speak of discipline, then there is an assumption that man is walking on the wrong way, that man is walking in a wicked way. When did we leave the right way? We left the right way in paradise. There we have chosen the wrong way in our father Adam. And so we continue to make that choice because man is not only receiving the guilt of Adam, but he is also receiving the corruption of Adam, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. Thus, each one of us, we are born in this world as our father Adam, not one who is only guilty as Adam because of Adam and from Adam's transgression because he is our head, but also sinful as Adam. Thus, left that right way. Who of us now needs to be disciplined? Children, do you need to be disciplined? Parents, do you need to be disciplined? There are only two classes of persons for whom discipline is not necessary. Who are they? They are, in the first place, the holy angels and the saints. They need no longer to be disciplined because they walk not on the wrong way. There is everything about them that is desiring and that is walking after the commandments of the Lord, the holy law of God, which continues to be the rule of eternal life. There's no need for discipline in heaven. Second, no need for discipline in hell. And why not? Because they walk in that right way? No. Because they walk nothing but a wrong way, but simply because there is for them no more hope. Thus their judgment is now final. Thus they are now left completely over to themselves. Then we need not try anymore to bring them into conformity with that holy law of God. There is no greater blessing, young people, than the rod. Do you believe that? What does Solomon say? The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod and the reproof give wisdom.
You say, I go to school for wisdom. I go to college, to university, and there I get wisdom. No. There you may come with a mind full of new ideas and all that may be necessary for this world. But here now we speak about wisdom. And it is the Lord himself that says a reproof is giving to a man wisdom. Paul writes to the Hebrews that the Lord chastens his people for their profit, that they might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyful, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them who are exercised thereby. Thus, what is being spoken of? What is being spoken of? That is, how that this key of discipline, that is not only for the shutting out, but that key of discipline, of rebuke, the rod, the chastening, that is in a special way a tool of the Lord to bring men into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, what profit was the prison for Manasseh? What did he do there? What did he learn there? There he learned to pray. There Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. He did not know this. Yes, he knew that here. But he did not know that here before he came in the prison. But when he came in the prison, when he was rebuked, when he was chastened by the Lord, then he began to pray. Congregation, today Manasseh blesses God for the prison house. How would it have been for King David, when the Lord just let him go, and when the Lord had never come by the mouth of his servant to say unto him, thou art the man, so that David had never been able of his own strength to say, I have sinned against the Lord. The rod, the discipline, the tool, the key that the Lord is using that a man may not be shut out. No, a tool, the key that the Lord is using that a man may be brought in, that the kingdom of heaven may be opened unto him. And how many of the church, they do not to this day kiss the rod. They do not to this day still taste the honey that was upon the end of that rod of the Lord. The mercies of the Lord that he has not permitted them to continue on in their wretched and their foolish way. As governor of the whole universe, the Lord is using his providences in this world, and that he may discipline, that he may chastise his church. So we read of Israel that they are brought by the Lord into the land of the enemy. And now that enemy that is used as a rod in the hand of the Lord, that enemy himself had his own purpose. We read the Assyrian, he wanted to cut off and he wanted to destroy Israel. But that was not the intention, that was not the purpose of the Lord, and he is overruling Assyria so that they may be a rod in the hand of the Lord. The Lord is going to bring His people back. He is going to bring them back into the right way because the Lord is not pleased to cut off His own people. But now the Lord has also given the rod into the hands of men as an institution of His own in this world. The rod. Authority in this world. That one man should be set in a place that he will rule over another man. Thus, man who is equal to one another in the sight of the Lord, when he has to stand before his judgment, and still the Lord making them in this way unequal, that he is setting up one and he is putting down another. That is so in a civil way. That is also so in an ecclesiastical way. And as a citizen of the state, obliging man that he will bow under the authority, the discipline of the state. And as a member of the church, obliging man to submit to the government of the church. And in his confession, then he has also agreed to this submission. So we have done, when you will go home and you will read the questions which we have answered in our confession of faith, then you will read again what we have promised in the way of submitting ourselves to the government of the church. What have we then done? We have said, correct me. We have said, come to me when I do evil. Stop me. Tell me when I do wrong. Do not let me go on my way. But how is the congregation in the practice? Then we know it isn't so easy. No, then we need to be given grace to bow before the rebukes of one another. But now there is also another side. Why? Because the Lord chastens His people, but the Lord also makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes with His rod. That rod is never too heavy. That rod is never too light. It is true, men cannot always understand the rod of the Lord. And it is true that man does not always agree with that rod. But in the end, then they will acknowledge and confess that the ways of the Lord, they were perfect. However, this is not so with man. Because man is far from perfection, man is prone to nothing but mistakes, also with his use of the rod and in his responsibility to discipline. How many times, fathers, would you not like to do it over again? When you look back at the way that you have done it, that you said, oh, I wish that I could do it again, because then I would do it different. Eli was too soft. He was not rigorous enough. David, he did not displease Adonijah at any time. Later on, then he may see that it was to the destruction of his own son. Saul cast a javelin at his own son. Congregation, with that place that we have, with that authority that we have,
we have also such a great responsibility because it is also liable to abuse. That man is stretching forth his hand too far. That also those in authority, they go beyond what their right is, what is given unto them to do. And therefore the Lord has given unto His church regulations. The Lord tells His church, He teaches His church how that they are to administer this rod, this discipline. We see that in our second thought, the use of this key. And where do we read of those regulations? Among other places, especially in Matthew 18. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. What principle do we see immediately upon reading this regulation of the Lord? We see that there is an increasing of the severity of the rebuke. Parents, teachers, bus drivers, and everyone that is given a place to exercise authority over youth, over children, where do you begin? Then we need not begin with a heavy hand. No, we read here that there is an increasing of the severity. Is it not now a great blessing when we only need to look at a child? Is it not a great blessing when the smallest admonition will bring them again into that right way? Then let us not begin to hard with our children. And so that is also within the church of God, within the ecclesiastical course of discipline. How does it begin? It does not begin with cutting off. When a man has sinned against the Lord, then we do not begin with excommunication. Actually, it does not begin with the church per se at all. But it begins with the members in that church. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Thus it is not the person who has offended that is to come in the first place to whom he has offended. He may not even know this. But it is the person who was offended that the Lord is sending to his offender, that he would go speak to him and tell him what his offense is. Now we have an expression in our world that is, mind your own business. And that is, of course, applicable in so very many cases. Solomon says that he who passeth by and meddleth with strife not belonging to him is like one who takes a dog by his ears. Children, I think you do not do that. To take a dog by the ears you can be sure that he will bite. And so the Lord says, when you will meddle with that strife that is between your neighbors and has nothing to do with you, then you are also going to be bit from it. But we are not speaking here, and the Lord's word is not speaking here about strife that is a disagreement between your brethren, but a trespass, it says, against us. What does that mean? Well, that means that when somebody has, in the first place, it can be that he has offended me in a personal way. Then I am to approach him. Then it is not something that is outside of my jurisdiction. But now there's also something else. Then it is possible that something is offensive by virtue of being members together within the same church, that we have together made a confession, that we have together asked one another and promised one another that we are going to submit to the rebuke and to the admonition of one another. The Lord asked Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" What did Cain say? He said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord has made us the keepers of one another. Paul says, "Look not everyone on his own things, but everyone also on the things of others." That means that our life that is subject to the scrutiny of one another. The Lord Jesus did not stay in heaven. The Lord Jesus, for the sake of his church, also came unto the earth. Go and tell him his fault. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Why? To keep it closed. Thus, we see a principle that when we can keep it closed, when it does not have to be spread, when it does not have to be made public, then we keep it closed. What does Solomon say? "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." What is our practice? And now, when it is that light rebuke, when we have gone to him personally, when we have spoken to one another in love, and we cannot convince one another, then we must go further. Of course, there are differences in sins. Not every sin is the same. We do not say that there is any sin that is light. But we do read in the Word of God that some sins are much greater than others. And there are some sins which are sins of infirmity. There are many things that we have simply to look over in one another, because when you will come to me for every fault, then you will be at my door every day. So there are so many things that we need to look over. And then there are some things that when we would go speak to a person, we would leave it with this. But then there are also other things. There are other sins
that have propensity, that are able to harm, that are able to cause division, that are able to cause declension within that church of God. There are some sins that the Lord calls in His Word to be particularly abominable. There are some sins which to leave would to be bringing the wrath of God upon the whole congregation. There are some sins which are public or will become public because of their nature. These are those which cannot be left. There are those that when a man would continue in them and that he would go further and further in a way of disobedience and bring himself into a sure destruction. And then when a personal speaking to our neighbor is not sufficient, then we have to go further. And what do we read? Take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. That is the second step. That is, that there is an increase in the pressure. And finally, we retell it unto the church. That is the third step. If everything is in vain, and then what must the church do? Let us sing first from Psalter 427, verse 4. In truth, the Lord has sorely chastened, but not to death delivered me. In His paternal love, He hastened to mitigate my misery. In the fourth stanza of Psalter 427. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Last time, then we have read from the book of Revelations, and we read of the
account that the angels of the churches had to give to the Lord for the administration of their Christian discipline. That is, the angels or the ministers, the overseers of the church. Thus we read in a special way how that the Lord is holding the office bearers within the church accountable. That he holds them accountable for what is happening in that church over which the Lord has made them overseers. Their laxity is threatened with punishment, even as Eli was punished. Thus they are responsible for erroneous doctrines that would be propagated within the church, that they do not propagate themselves, but also that the members would not propagate such doctrines within the church. They are responsible for the truth of the Holy Scriptures, and that truth that is remaining upheld. They are responsible also, we read, for wicked lifestyles of their members. Thus, not only what is happening in the Sabbath day, but they are responsible for what is happening day by day in the lives, in the homes, in the example of their members. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Thus the office bearers call to give an account for the behavior of its members. Thus office bearers threatened with punishment themselves when they fail to rebuke, when they fail to act. How does that begin? That begins with admonition. Again, that is not a beginning with the most harsh things. No, but that is a beginning with those things which are so very gentle. That has a purpose, that with very much patience, and that we are trying to explain the wrong of this way of life, the end of this way of life, that we are using the reason that God has given us to convince our neighbor of his wrongdoing. It is possible that it is necessary that they be barred from the Lord's Supper and from the meetings, what we call a silent censor, before the three steps of actual censor. And what is taking place if a person with such a light rebuke, he is turning from his way, then that censor that is lifted, then we do not proceed. But if he will not turn, then depending on the seriousness of that sin, then it is necessary to proceed with the three steps of actual censor. And what are these? Well, that has to do with how that the names of these persons are announced within the church of God. First, that name is not announced. That is, again, to spare that person. And that he is easier able to come around again. That in gentleness, that he may be drawn once again to that right way. And the congregation, they are urged to pray for the person who is laboring on the Sabbath day, let's say. And when, after much patience and admonition, this person will still go on in his way,
then with the advice of classes, then that name is now announced. Once again, with patience, such a person is spoken to. Finally, if there is no repentance, the congregation is informed that this person is going to be excluded from the fellowship of the church. Thus, it is taking place with the approbation of the whole church. And after these three steps, if that person still remains obstinate, then he is excommunicated according to the form that is given for that purpose. And then he is to be unto the church, as we read, an heathen and a publican. Paul says, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverteth and sinneth, being condemned of himself. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Thus it is shut by this excommunication. Not as if the church is able to execute this itself. But congregation, whose institution is it? It doesn't belong to the church, but it is the Lord's. Thus, it is the Lord himself, when rightly administered, who will execute this pronouncement. That makes this a serious matter. And that matter is, sadly, not seen in our days as serious as it is. So that when there is even the least step that is taken, even a silent censor, then that is not taken simply on behalf of man, but that is taken according to the commandment of the Lord. Thus we are not under the censor of man, but we are under the censor of God. Are we able just to continue when such a censor has been placed upon us? That is not our institution. It is the institution of the Lord. But this censor, that is not in order that a person may be excluded. No, the eye that man has and ought to have in this is that a man may be included. That it may not be to their shutting out, but that it may be to the opening of that kingdom of God. These are the means. It is a means that the Lord has given that he may bring a man to repentance once again. And that is why, when there is repentance, then the execution of that discipline ceases. That is, of course, when there is a promise, we have read, and when they show real amendment. Thus, consistory also must be careful that they give a little time to see if indeed there is to all appearances a real amendment. They cannot see the heart. But then they must look upon the life. Thus that is different from the civil court. Because the civil court, that is not simply to bring a person around again, though that is often what is the thought today, but the civil court and a civil judge has a duty to execute judgment and justice. And because a person repents does not mean in the civil court that he is no longer punished. But the ecclesiastical court is not to punish. That is for the civil court. The ecclesiastical court, that is medicinal. That is an attempt to bring this person around again. And therefore we say that is a key. Not that they would be shut out in the first place, but in the first place that they may, that the kingdom of God may be opened unto us. Congregation, what does the Lord say? He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, he says, and repent. That is the fruit that is looked for in a rebuke, in a chastening, repentance. So it is in our homes. We rebuke our children that they may walk in the right way. So it also ought to be within the church. There is not one that is exempt. There is not a confessing member exempt. There is not an office bearer that is exempt. There is not even a baptized member that is exempt, although a baptized member may not be excommunicated. Thus we have, congregation, a responsibility. A responsibility concerning ourselves that we bring not offense within the church of God. That we take not what we consider to be our own liberties to the offense of God's people and of one another. Thus, we have a responsibility concerning ourselves, but we also have a responsibility concerning one another. Let us not neglect our responsibility. How shall it be? If we were to land together in that awful pit and then have that accusation against one another, why did you not warn me? Why did you just let me go when you knew that way that I was walking in? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A reproof that entereth more into the heart of a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Do you know what the Lord says? The Lord says this: thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy brother and not suffer sin upon him. Hatred is to let each other go according to the word of God. Thus, we have a responsibility towards one another and a consistory. We have even a greater responsibility. What does Paul say? Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Sometimes, that a man is to be set as an example before others. And then he instructs further. And I charge thee before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. What a responsibility that is lying upon the shoulders of a consistory, that there would not even be the appearance of partiality in their investigations and in their judgments within a congregation. The Lord make us faithful. More faithful because we are not so faithful. The Lord make us faithful. And the Lord grant us His blessing, that it may not be to our exclusion, but that it may be to the inclusion of us and of our children into that kingdom of heaven. That we also would come to say upon the rebuke of the Lord through our neighbor with David, I have sinned against the Lord. What was the Lord's answer? The Lord has also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Amen. O Lord, make us faithful. Thou givest us command. Very difficult for us to administer in the congregation and also amongst one another. O Lord, give us love for each other, true love that may be honest, that may be forthright, that may confront for the good of our souls. And do lead us into all thy truth together. And that with all our iniquities, that there may be place and room made for thy dear Son. That we may be forgiven our sins. And that we may be reconciled unto God. And wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing. And grant us meditation upon thy word this day. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Go with us in the week to come. Each one has a place in this world. The fathers, the mothers, the children at school. Wilt thou supply, Lord, and give that it may not all be for the world. But that our meditations on the first day of the week may go with us into the next 6 days, that there they may be for our profit. Forgive what was sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 329:1, 2, and 4. Thou, Lord, hast dealt well with thy servant. Thy promise is faithful and just. Instruct me in judgment and knowledge, for in thy commandments I trust. 1, 2, and 4 of 329.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.